Amen, I say to you, whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe that you shall receive, and it shall be done to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the Gospel of Doomsday, the abomination of desolation set up in the holy place. But I want to tell you about confidence some more. We've been praying this verse from St. Mark. It's the communion verse. Listen, the scholar will sing it at the beginning of Holy Communion. It also is taken from the Gospel last Wednesday. It was the feast day of St. Gregory the Wonder Worker, he who moved mountains and dried up lakes by prayer. Now, the past two Sundays, we have already been considering confidence in the church. Confidence, the church militant here upon earth, and last Sunday, confidence concerning the church suffering in purgatory. Today, we lift up our eyes, and if you lift up your eyes here, what do you see? You see more saints. Today, we look upon the church triumphant in heaven, confidence in Christ's merits and his mercy. Confidence, remember, Thomas Aquinas at the beginning of this series gave us our definition. You always have to start with the definition. Confidence is a certain strength of hope from what you experience, from what you see, which makes you think you will receive. We see today the saints. We started the month with them, All Saints Day. That great crowd John saw at the apocalypse vision in Patmos, which no man can number, they're in heaven. But first, today, we look upon lovingly their queen, Mary, queen of all saints. Talk about confidence. There she is, it's her presentation. All by herself, 3 years old, climbing up the steep steps which lead into the temple, and at the top is a serious-looking high priest. And at the bottom, her parents. She's leaving them behind, Joachim and Anna. It is her presentation in the temple this day. 3 years old. Samuel of old, of the Old Testament, was the same age. What trustful faith those two Annes showed, Anna of the Old and St. Anne of the New. St. Therese wanted to enter Carmel, the cloister, as a child at 15. She talked to the Pope about it, didn't exactly get her way, but almost. She was 16. When she crossed the threshold of the Carmelite convent. She was very grown up in her manners and bearing, and yet everything about her was always a child. Confidence. St. Gertrude was 5 years old when she was brought to the monastery. Another November saint, St. Godfrey of Amiens, he was the same age. It takes trust to give away a child. No wonder St. Therese gave everything away, including all of her merits. She inherited this, I think, from her parents, Zelie and Louis Martin. Our Lord, as a loving father, you know this, delights to indulge us. Often to hear our little prayers to make us happy, to instill confidence. Did you ever say Hail Mary when you're looking for a parking place, maybe to Our Lady or to your guardian angel, or to St. Anthony for those perpetually lost keys or glasses? And you know it works. Well, that's what our Savior said. And St. Mark wrote it down, and we sing it these last Sundays at the Holy Communion. Quidquid orantes petitis, whatever you ask for as you're praying. Believe me. No, believe Jesus Christ. It is his delight to distribute his gifts to those who trust him. Ascending in high, says the psalmist, he distributes his gifts here below. St. Gertrude says that truth too, and our Lord once questioned one of her fellow sisters. He said to her, "Why don't you act like Gertrude?" She was discouraged, this nun was, because she had been praying for a certain favor for a long time in vain. "Gertrude," Christ continued, "is so firmly established in my providence that there is nothing she does not hope for from the fullness of my grace. And that's why I never say no," he concluded. See the secret? Remember it. We tend to distrust God because we compare him with ourselves. We make a God like unto ourselves to worship, suspicious, fearful, resentful, cruel even, an impossible tyrant, manipulative, a monster to be feared, for he is so capricious. No wonder people end up hating God, or at least angry with him for long stretches of time. All they ever knew was fear. Fathers, mothers, pay attention to this. Don't raise your children to be atheists. If only hearts would realize that Jesus is all love, all mercy. He has treasures of grace for us, but few are they who find the key. Maybe you have to pray to St. Anthony for that. What's the key? Sweet confidence, that of a child. Absolute. You see it in their eyes, their face. It is unquestioning. The classic tale of St. Gertrude is the story of the needle in the haystack. Now, what she was doing sewing in a barn, I don't know. But she lost her needle in a haystack. Her prayer was an interesting one. "Look for it for me, Lord. You know where it is. And if I look for it, it will just be wasted time." She found the needle, and it was right between her fingers. St. Therese refers to purgatory using that same phrase, wasted time. She says, "Our seat in heaven is already, as it were, pre-selected, and that purgatory gains you nothing because you can't merit from your sufferings there in purgatory. You only atone for past sins. So, if we love our Lord and trust him utterly, we could go straight to heaven." We saw that last Sunday. Confidence joined with love. That's the little way of this great saint of modern times. But it's the way of all the saints, and it leads us to join them in heaven, if only we follow it ourselves generously. It serves as a kind of a fire escape route as well, obviously. Remember saying Mass at the Church of St. Anthony Alpanocan. It's near Mexico City, and it's on the mountainside that leads up to the greatest volcano in Mexico, Pocotaple, and you see signs all the way up, Ruta de Evacuación, in case the volcano blows, this is how you avoid the flames. Confidence. What the saints do for us is to reintroduce us to God, our Father. They remind us that we are nothing, that He is everything. This truth, however, does not crush us, but gives confidence. It's trust, because remember, confidence leads to trust, trust in His goodness. The saints are not a distraction for us from God. No, our devotions here are not in competition with the Almighty. The saints place us, this is what they do, even now, where they are in eternity, squarely before God. And just the right attitude. Now, we shouldn't think that this confidence comes cheap. Like the Protestant salvation experience, you accept Christ as your personal Savior, and you're good before God, and you're good to go. No, you are redeemed, St. Paul tells us today in the epistle. You are redeemed, O soul, at a great price, His precious blood. It's not curbside pickup. Love points the way. If you love me, keep the commandments, for starters. Do not believe, says St. Therese, that following the way of love is sweet rest and all consolation. To the contrary, it is to give yourself without holding back to God's good pleasure, to share with Jesus in His humiliations, and to drink His bitter chalice. We prove our love by everything we do, all of our deeds that are in our very power to perform. After all, what's love? I mean, a love worthy of the name, which is not proven. Then I think of St. Therese, you know, at the end of her life, just before she had to report to the infirmary with her tuberculosis, how she was trying to carry out the regular routine day for a nun in the convent. And she was so exhausted, she lived in a cell. There was up a little landing of three steps. She didn't have the strength to climb those last three steps. And she'd have to sit down on the first step and rest for a while. And finally, she would get to the third step and then go in. And it took her about a half an hour just to get ready for bed, because she had spent herself all day long, just the regular things, but in the love of God. When we've done all that we think we could possibly manage, we have to turn to our Lord and say, I'm an unprofitable servant. But still, I dare to hope God, by His grace, will fulfill this desire of mine. Little souls we're little souls who run as children will to their Father. Run, St. Therese says, not rest. This confidence, we're back to St. Gertrude, this confidence wounds my heart so deeply. This confidence that Jesus truly has the wisdom and He has the power and He has the goodness to aid a soul faithfully in every problem, in every misery. Why, it is an arrow which pierces my heart, Christ says, and does such violence to my love that I could never abandon you. Remember the golden arrow prayer? We were saying it during Lent, which our Lord said wounds His heart out of devotion to the Holy Face. I'm thinking that Jesus is the divine archer. Sometimes we have archery for the girls when they have their monthly sodality meetings. Jesus is the divine archer, and He shows us just how to hold the bow, and he it is who puts the arrows in our quiver. Follow the saints, because they always hit the target. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.